You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I'm going to let you down someday. I wish with all my heart I could tell people that I'm never going to let them down. But I can't. I wish I could. I've told people I won't let you down, and I dare. We all will. But I want to promise you something right now, standing in the house of God, in the presence of God, that God will never let you down. It's not going to happen. Come on, give Him some praise. He will not ever let you down. He is good. Do you know when you first gave your life to Jesus, it felt like you were on a mountaintop? See, God doesn't leave you when all of a sudden you begin to struggle. He's not like, oh, they're in the valley, now I'm done. No, He's good in the valley. And then when you're in the valley and you learn something, don't you? You learn that if I keep my eyes on Him, He'll bring me back on the mountaintop. But then when you're up on the mountaintop, He's not only the God of the valley, He's still God on the mountaintop, praise God. He's not like, oh no, I've done that work in you, now I forget about it. No, now He's going to do a new thing, another thing. He's got a next step, amen. He's good in the valley, good in the mountain, and good on a hike in between, praise God. He's always good. Would you give Him another shout of praise if you believe that, church? Stay standing for a moment. If you're new here, I just want you to know a couple of things about our church. Number one, we're a little bit excited. Didn't sound like it just then. Sorry, I meant to say we're a pretty dead church. No, we're a bit excited in here. We go a bit crazy every now and again. And so, a couple of ground rules. When I'm preaching, you yell at me. All right, you just yell at me, whatever you want. I don't care what it is. You just yell something out. Amen, that's good. Preach, hallelujah, glory, glory, if that's what you want to do. Whatever floats your boat, you yell it out, all right? Sometimes, I don't know if you can say this, sometimes I'd rather people cuss at me than sit there in silence, you know? Like, just don't go to sleep on me, all right? And I don't know whether it's because I have a ridiculously large ego or if it's because that God commands a blessing where there's unity, but either way, I don't know what it is. But I preach better when you yell at me, all right? And so that's rule number one. Also, if you don't know who I am, my name is Jesse. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm thrilled that you're here. After the service, I'd love it if you'd go out to the lobby. We got a gift for you. We think that if you come to our church, you should leave blessed in every area of your life. You should leave blessed in the spiritual, amen. You should leave blessed in your experience and your emotions. Everything should be blessed, amen. We also believe you should be blessed in the material, because who knows that it's okay to receive a physical blessing. And so we've got a notebook for you. It's an Eternity Church notebook and a t-shirt in this tube here. Sorry, in this tube, because apparently it's about T-O-O-B. In this tube, there's a t-shirt as well. So go out there and get that. This is a small, so who wants this tiny little t-shirt? Anyone want it? There you go, little bro. Sorry. Josie, you can go get one after service, and they'll give you one as well, because you got out of your seat with boldness and confidence. Because Josie knows that you can stand in your seat all day and say, I wish someone would bless me, but when someone yells out, come and get it, you better go get your blessing, right? And so I got a notebook as well if someone wants that. So get out of your seat. God bless you, mate. You're a legend. People are starting to learn that if you sit near the front, you get goodies at Eternity Church. And so I'll make it my mission to never bless the very back row when we build the, I can't do that, Pastor Jed. We bless everyone in this place, right? Amen. Good, good. So anyway, so welcome to church. If you're new, like I said, after the service, run out to the lobby, get your welcome gift out there. So thank you very much. It's Memorial Day tomorrow, and it's Memorial Day weekend right now, and I just want to take a moment to recognize the bravery of all those who have served in the armed forces, but specifically, by the way, Jason Neff up on our screen, he's a veteran who served overseas as well. And so we just love all of our veterans in our church and their bravery. But specifically on this Memorial Day weekend, I know many of you in this room have lost loved ones, and family members and friends for our freedoms. And we want you to know today that as you remember them, that we remember them too, and that we love you and we thank them and you for the sacrifice. And so you're in our prayers and you're in our thoughts. And I want to just pray for you, and if that would be okay. So everyone just reach out your hands if you believe that God's alive and that God moves and answers our prayers. Heavenly Father, firstly, we thank you for this safe place that we are so blessed to live in. And although we recognize it is not perfect and that no nation or state or place ever will be until the day that you return and make everything brand new, we thank you for those who have fought and died to bring us safety and peace in a place where we can so freely seek you and worship you with all of our hearts without fear. Lord God, I ask you to comfort their families and their loved ones today as they remember their dear ones. And Lord God, we also ask you to help me preach your word. You know I need your help. So God, help me to declare your truth, your wonder, and your awesomeness to everyone in this room. May we all experience the wonder of the sanctuary of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And all those who agree, give the God one last shout of praise as you take your seats. Hey, God bless you guys. Thank you very much. Fantastic. So last week we started 3 weeks of fire. That's a sermon title that really means nothing except it's going to be awesome. And so that we started that because we're doing 3 weeks off topic, and usually in our church we preach in series and sermon series where each week flows from the next, and at the moment we're off topic, so each one could be different. They have, however, accidentally, or perhaps because God the Holy Spirit knows everything and does what he wants, they actually have flowed together. And last week I heard so many people talk about how God set them up, you know, before they got to church. Things happening in their lives, and they said last week was a setup. Have you ever had that where you come to church and you're like, God, you set me up? Have you ever had that? Like, this is a setup, man. I should have smelt that a mile away, right? God just sets you up in church. Something's going on in your life all of a sudden. That's exactly what the sermon's about. Like a couple of weeks ago when we did the sermon series on legacy, the particular week that we did work on the Saturday, there was a gentleman in our church who had just on that very day, on Saturday, he got back his medical license after 3 or 4 years of begging, scraping, fighting hard to get that back. And then that Sunday night, it's all about work and work ethic and honoring God in your work and your workplace and all that gear. And he's like, that was a set up straight from heaven. And so he was just really grateful for that. And but yeah, since last week, I've heard a lot of stories about people who started doing the four things we spoke about. I encourage you to get the podcast if you are not sure what I'm talking about. They've seen God do miracles in their lives as they simply go to God and say, God, I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. What a wonderful passage of scripture that was, hey. That Jehoshaphat goes and stands in the presence of God, and not knowing what to do as the enemy's coming, he simply says this, God, I do not know what to do, which is a story of many of our lives at different points here and there. But the humbleness to just admit that to God and in front of all his people, and then ask God for his help. And that's been a wonderful outcome in a lot of people's lives. God, my eyes are on you, because I know that you know what to do. Amen. And so last week was all about the presence of God being the place of preparation for the victory, the place you go when the devil knocks on the door of your life. This week I want to talk to you about the presence of God as a sanctuary for all you believers, a place of refuge and restoration, because sometimes the battle wears you out, doesn't it? Like all of our soldiers, they prepare for weeks and months and years, sometimes multiple years, depending on the corps that they serve in, and they do all this battle. They hike, they run, they're physically building their bodies. They're going through tremendously physically stressful situations, building their endurance and their capacity. And still, when they find themselves in a battle and they go to war, after the battle, they're still tired. You still get exhausted even when you've been prepared. And sometimes even when you win, the battle wears you out, doesn't it, right? And so we want to talk about where we go when we get worn out. Sometimes even our own sin can wear us out, right? Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be having a great day, everything's going fantastic, and then somebody does something that's really not a deal at all, but I make it a deal, and I overreact, and I go a little bit psychobilly ninja, and all of a sudden, I'm exhausted because I went psycho over nothing. Like our own sin, it can just wear you out, right? You're feeling fine, you overreact, you do something, and now you're exhausted because of your sin, right? Sometimes, did you know that living a blessed life can be exhausting too? That even in constant victory, it can bring with it its own form of exhaustion. I do live a blessed life. I feel like I'm a winner. And I don't mean a winner like, you know, y'all losers and I'm a winner. I mean like God has brought me through so many battles and we've had victory, right? You know, you can't be a winner unless there's a battle to win, right? Like, so it's okay to, if you're winning, that's cool. You're a winner, praise God, right? But even in winning, like battle, win, battle, win, battle, win, battle, win, after that, it can get exhausting, can't it? Like, you still need a rest. You still need some time. You still need a moment. Even Elijah, the great prophet, wanted to die. Kill me, God, says Elijah. You know, I'm going to go off topic for a second. I know we're off topic, aren't we? Like, we're off topic this week, but can I go off the off topic for a second, right? Like, you should totally read the Bible. Like, it's a sweet book, right? It's brilliant, right? Like, if you like horror movies, read the Bible. Brilliant. If you like romance, read the Bible. Brilliant. If you like drama, flip an egg. Read the Bible. It's brilliant, right? Like, it's unreal. There's a reason you should read the Bible, all right? We want to encourage people in our church to do two things every week. Seek God in prayer and worship, right? And read their Bibles, right? Seek God in prayer and worship and read their Bibles. Why? Because the meat of your relationship with God, the meat of Christianity, is a closer, more meaningful relationship with God. And you get that by reading the Bible and by prayer and worship, okay? The meat is a close relationship with God. People come to church and like, oh, I didn't get fed at that church. And I'm like, what are you, like 6 months old? Like, you know, milk and meat we talk about in the Bible, right? Milk and meat. I told you, I'm going way off topic right now. Like, milk and meat, right? Milk and meat, right? Like, you got fed milk by your mama, all right? Now, let's not picture that too much, but you got fed milk by your mama, right? But now you're eating steak, aren't you? Is your mama coming, cutting it up and sticking it in your mouth with a fork? No, you're doing that yourself, aren't you? Right? If you want meat, read your Bible and spend time in His presence, because the meat is a more meaningful and deeper relationship with God, and you're responsible for that, not anybody else. Amen? So go read your Bible. There's some really cool stuff in there, all right? Now, church is awesome. But in church, you'll come and you'll celebrate the goodness of God. You'll be inspired of God's wonder. And you'll be reminded of all the great plans that He has for you. And it will be brilliant. But I want to tell you, the meat is your relationship with God. That's the meat, praise God. Someone say move on. I will. You watch this. So Elijah literally just won the most epic of battles, all right? It was brilliant. He won the most, the biggest, like, whose daddy's tougher battle that the planet had ever seen, where he called down fire from heaven and burnt a soaking wet bull. It was water, not petroleum, okay? See, they hadn't invented that yet back then. He had a bull that was soaking wet with water, and he called fire from heaven and it burnt it up. And there were all these other prophets, a bunch of prophets of Baal, a false god. I know he's a false god, A, because the Bible says, and B, because there's only one God, our God, praise God. And all these fake prophets, these false prophets of Baal, they're trying to get their fake god to burn a sacrifice on an altar, but nothing happened because he's fake. And Elijah was joking around, having a good old time. He's just laughing at them. He's just mocking them relentlessly, right? Like, to the point where I'd have been there and I'd be like, bro, tone it down, all right? Like, relax, bro, because I know God's gonna back you up right now, but someone's gonna slap you in a minute, right? And so he's relentless. He's saying things like this. Maybe Baal bailed, you know? Well, I made that bit up, but, you know, because but maybe Baal bailed on you right now. now. Maybe Baal's having a nap, right? Like he's mocking these other, like there's one man of God and a bunch of them, and he thinks it's wise to mock them. So he does. And then at one point, I'm not even making this up. He goes, yo, maybe Baal's having a leak. Like for real. That's what he's saying. He's like mocking them, saying, maybe your God is on the toilet, and so he can't come and help you right now. He's mocking them relentlessly, and clearly nothing happens with them, and the bull does not get set on fire. But when it's Elijah's turn to show how great our God is, he has them soak the bull in water repeatedly. Soak it again, again, again. And then he calls on God in heaven and says, God, by your power, and fire from heaven comes down and instantaneously consumes the soaking wet bull on the altar, because God is alive, amen? And what's more, all these people that are standing around, they're like, wow, God is real. And Elijah's like, oh man, I've been telling you. And then the prophets are like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And Elijah's like, you know, let's take these blokes down here. Let's get the sword and let's just stab them all. And that's what happens. Cool story, hey? And that's in the Bible. That is in the Bible, right? Elijah wins the battle, takes them all, and then slaughters all the men of God. Some of y'all are like, that's really violent. It's the Old Testament, all right? Relax, all right? You know how you read the Old Testament now? Anytime you see punishment in the Old Testament, replace that person being punished with Jesus being punished, and then look at the blessing. All right, it matters, because see what happens, you know, that's what we deserve for being sinful and false. But then Jesus stepped in and said, I'll be the fake prophet of Baal right now, and you can punish me and stab me and put me on the cross. You read the Old Testament through the lens of the cross, okay? This story is Old Testament. Elijah slaughters them all, right? And then let's see what happened, all right? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 9. So write this down. 1 Kings 19, 1 to 9. I want you to write it down so you can go home and read the story in its fullness and be amazed at what God did in this whole story. Now, Ahab, who was a pretty bad king, told Jezebel, and when you've got a really evil guy talking to someone called Jezebel, you know it's about to go bad, right? And so Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah to say, may the gods that don't exist deal with me ever be so severely if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of theirs. In other words, I'm going to kill you. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. The dude that just called fire from heaven and destroyed a soaking wet bull, and then with his own sword slaughtered all these other men, ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. Elijah wanted to die. He wins an epic battle, kills everyone, runs away like a little man-child, and then wants to die. It's confusing. He's running away so someone who wanted to kill him couldn't kill him, and then asked someone else to kill him. I don't know if this is as confusing for you as it is for me, but it's confusing. There's no reason in the natural for him to want to die. He was a winner, and he was winning, and he wanted to die. Someone wanted to kill him, so he runs away from them to ask somebody else to kill him. It's like, if I'm going to die today, it's not going to be from you. That's confusing. The guy went from winning the most epic who's the best God contest in the world to suicidal in a moment. And sometimes your very own emotions can cause you to want and desire destructive things, can't they? I want to encourage you, if you've ever been through these kinds of thoughts, that you're not alone. You know, people don't only have deceitful thoughts in the, you know, when they're in the valley. You know, they have them on the mountaintop too. You know, they have them on the trail. They have them in the valley. They have them all over the place. It's not only people exactly like you. Everybody has had moments where their mind has deceived them or their emotions have caused them to want and desire things that they shouldn't want. The question is, how do we live at peace, at rest, full of hope, no matter what the situation is in our life? Because high or low, we need rest. High or low, we need peace. High or low, we need sanctuary. No matter what we're dealing with, no matter what the devil brings at us. See, we talked last week about how God brings the victory and how his presence is the preparation zone for the victory. But what about in the waiting? Or what about when we forget to go to God? Or what about when we got tired? Or what about when we're constantly winning, 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 winning? How do we protect ourselves from being like Elijah? I'm winning, winning, winning. Everything is awesome when you're part of God's team. I want to die. How do we protect ourselves from that kind of roller coaster 6 minutes in our lives? And that's why we want to talk about finding sanctuary in God's presence and what that means. Sound good? Am I preaching better than your amening? I thought so. The neat thing about sanctuary is that it's more about what does not matter than what does matter. See, we find sanctuary from the past. Sanctuary from our hurt. Sanctuary from our pursuers. Sanctuary from even our responsibilities. And in the sanctuary, they don't matter. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Psalm 61, verse 3. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent. What's the tent? The tent is the sanctuary, okay? When you see tent, sanctuary. I long to dwell in your sanctuary forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. See, God has always been a refuge, a sanctuary, a strong tower. And not only is God's presence the preparation zone for victory or the preparation zone for the battle, but God's presence is also where you go when you just need a moment. I need a break. I just need all the things of the world to just chill out for a moment. I just need a break. I need sanctuary. I need a moment. It's where you go. The presence of God is where you go when you need sanctuary. Now listen to this. I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now. You ready for it? Seriously, and some of you need to write this down. Some of you need to tweet this. Some of you need to Facebook this. Some of you need to Instagram this. This is a truth bomb that you need to understand right now. In the Old Testament, remember the tent? In the Old Testament, the presence of God was found in the sanctuary. Now, in the New Testament, now after the cross, now sanctuary is found in the presence of God. Did you hear that? See, in the Old Testament, the presence of God was found inside the tent called the sanctuary. And now we find our sanctuary in the presence of God. The presence of God existed in a tent. And now the sanctuary only exists where the presence of God is. See, this room, this building, this place is not a sanctuary for the presence of God. It's a sanctuary because of the presence of God. Yeah, if you're going to clap, make it a good one. The neat thing about sanctuary is that nothing else matters when you're in there. Nothing, right? That's why it's called a sanctuary. Nothing else matters when you're in his presence. The devil doesn't matter when you're in God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Position doesn't matter when you're in God's presence. Praise God. Now, some of y'all are going to hate what I'm about to say. Maybe. Some of y'all are going to be like, I'm going to get my phone out. I'm going to email that pastor right now. Telling this is wrong. Hey, hold off on your email for just 8 minutes, all right? Because in 8 minutes, you will send the email, but you're going to be like, hallelujah, that was good. Amen. Praise God, all right? So hold off on your email, all right? Hold off on your sacrilegious thoughts, all right? That was wrong, right? Hold off. But listen to this. Your sin no longer matters in the presence of God. Your sin. But sin. No, your sin no longer matters in the presence of God. This is the New Testament, my friends, not the Old Covenant. Praise God. Let me tell you another one. The weather doesn't matter when you're in the presence of God. The seasons of your life, the highs or the lows, don't change how God feels about you and what God wants to do in you. So let's roll through those four things again. Get your pens out. Get your notebooks out. If you take notes on Facebook, on Twitter, then start busting out lines on Twitter. You ready? Write this down. In the sanctuary, the devil's lies don't matter. God isn't listening to his lies. And in this sanctuary, we aren't listening to his lies either. God is truth and light, and light and dark cannot exist in the same time at the same place. Praise God. When you're standing in the presence of God, in the sanctuary of God, the devil's lies don't matter. In the presence of God is sanctuary from the lies of the devil. Hallelujah. And when you're feeling lied to, betrayed, attacked, God's presence is where the truth is. And the truth is, you are a child of the King of Kings. Come on, you are a child of the King of Kings. You know what? Position doesn't matter in the sanctuary. Now, this might sound like a dig at people with high positional wealth. It's not. Believe me, trust me, it is not a dig. It is a relief. Titles, positions, priest, pastor, volunteers, salaries, none of that matters in the presence of God. None of that matters in the sanctuary. We find, in the presence of God, we find sanctuary from position and title. You have no responsibility when you're standing in God's presence. You have no requirements, nobody needing your opinions or sales targets, or no one needing you to tell them how you're going to pay their wages this week. No one needing you to tell you how last year's sales were the best ever, so how, you know, your fancy new strategy to beat that this year. No one needs that in God's presence. It's just you, a child of God, standing in his presence, humbly asking for restoration, refreshing, and an overflowing joy, praise God. In the presence of God, you don't have to be mother, father, business owner. You don't have to be worrying about what you did wrong in those titles. You don't have to be a server at a restaurant or a plumber in the bathroom when you are standing in God's presence. You're just his son, you're just his daughter, and it is glorious. If you feel in low position, check it out. In God's presence, you're a son or a daughter of the King. Now, how cool is that? Well, I mean, like a son and daughter. So you know what? Like Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, none of those understand the sort of authority I'm talking to you about right now. You are a son of the King of Kings. See, you're a son or a daughter of the King of Kings who's higher in authority than any of them. Hallelujah. Come on, when you're in God's presence, that's who you are. If you feel the weight and responsibility of high profile or position in God's presence, he's the King. Oh, that's on him. Oh, we got to figure out how to do this, how to do that, how to work out these targets. And no. In God's presence, God, that's on you, bro. That's on you. Amen. In Acts 10, Peter said, I now finally realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. None. Zero. Squat. He doesn't only love the poor. He doesn't only love the rich. He doesn't only love the struggling. He doesn't only love the winning. He loves. That's it. He is good, good. Oh, amen. He will never let you down. Praise God. That sets me up really great for my next point. You ready for it? The one that people got their phones ready to go. You know, like, you ready for it? Sin doesn't matter in his presence. Sin doesn't matter in his presence. Now, I'm not saying y'all should go out there and keep sinning. You know, what would be real good if you go out there and keep lusting over other people's spouses? That would be really good for your life and theirs. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying you should add new sins to your personal collection of sins. I'm not saying you should do any of that, all right? What I am saying is that the sin you have and that you may add to doesn't matter in God's presence anymore. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about sin. It is overcome in the presence of God. So those of us with sin need to be in his presence. It's bought and paid for. God is finished with sin. It is finished. Praise God. When you're in God's presence, it doesn't matter anymore. Oh, it used to matter. It mattered so bad. in the Old Testament, if we were in the Old Testament right now, we'd all be burnt up and dead in God's presence. Not because you suck. And not because God's like, get out of my presence, I'm going to kill you. No, not because of any of that. We'd all be dead in God's presence because God is so purely righteous and holy that it would overwhelm us and it would kill us. It was such a big deal, right? See, back then, sin was the main event when walking into the presence of God. We used to have to kill animals as sacrifices just to temporarily hang out in God's presence. And even then, only the most high priest could go all the way in. It was the biggest thing on his mind as he walked in. You better believe it. The priest, as he's walking in, he's freaking out. Am I clean enough? Maybe we go back and kill another bull. You know, kills that one. Then he thinks about someone he shouldn't. Darn it, we're running out of bulls. You know, and he goes back in there again. Oh, he's freaking out. He's like worried. What if I had the wrong thought, did the wrong thing? What if I'm not sinless enough or pure enough when I get in there? It was such a big concern. Check it out, right? See, sometimes someone must have died in there. Must have been a priest wandering in. And about 8 days later, they're like, where is that dude? They start, you know, the sanctuary's starting to sniff a little bit like a dead dude. And so they're like, all right. So from now on, when we send people in there, we're going to tie a rope around their ankle. So if they die in there, pull him out. That's how big a deal it was, right? Sin was the main event. They tied a rope on him so they could drag his dead body out of God's presence by the rope. There was even a big curtain, not big like, look how tall it is, no, I mean like fat, big fat curtain in between the presence of God and the people of God. But when Jesus died on that cross for our sins, when Jesus took our sins from us, that curtain tore in half, both literally and spiritually, because sin is paid for and purchased, taken from us. Those who accept Jesus are forgiven and their sins are removed by the greatest stain remover the world has ever known. His name is Jesus Christ, amen. And if he's Lord of your life, you're welcome in his presence. Sanctuary is the one place that you should not be thinking about sin, old or new ones. It's the place you come to find sanctuary from your sins, freedom from the shame, acceptance irrelevant of past behavior. See, the cross removes your sin, right? The cross bought and paid for your sin. It removed your sin. But it's in God's presence that your desire for sin is overcome. And so we need to be in his presence to overcome the sin. And as you focus not on your sin, but on your Savior, you're made brand new. Brand new. Is that good news? And that leads me to my last point. The weather doesn't matter when you're in God's presence. God's presence is a sanctuary from your weather. Whether it's summer, winter, autumn, or springtime in your life, the weather and the seasons don't matter because the season doesn't change in the sanctuary. It's always the same. All the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. Amen. You know that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of God's glory and grace. Revelation 21 says, with God seated on the throne, God said, I am making all things new. I am making everything new. Write this down. This is God telling you. Write this down. So maybe you should write it down. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. When God says write this down, write it down. Write it down. I am making all things new. The weather and the seasons of your life don't matter in the sanctuary, because in the sanctuary, all things are made new. In the sanctuary, it's always springtime in God's presence, amen? Come on, it's springtime in the sanctuary, and so what weather it is outside the tent doesn't matter, praise God. It's springtime in here. He's always making all things new. He's making you new. He's making your heart new. He's refreshing your heart, bringing you joy, bringing you peace. He's bringing newness and restoration to your heart, your life, your marriage, your family, your work ethic, your kids. Lauren and I, we bought a new house about 18 months ago, and we bought it in winter. And when we moved in, there was this brown patch out the front. Had a brick fence, and then a brown patch right near the front door. Two brown patches, actually, covered in mulch. And I'm like, that's an ugly bit of mulch. We need to plant grass there, honey. She's like, don't do that. Something else happened. Because y'all know I love grass, right? And I don't mean smoking it. I mean, like, I love the grass that grows on the ground, okay? I know, I'm like, I love grass. And some people are just going to tweet that. I love grass. Tag Jesse Newman. I'm like, no, like, well, I love lawn, all right? I love lawn, all right? Just something about lawn. I look at it and I'm like, so blessed. I can't contain it. So much I want to give it away. Anyway, that's what happens when I look at grass. I'm a weird guy. Lauren convinces me that at some point something wonderful will happen in our dirt patch. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And so you know what happened though? Springtime came. Tulips came up. Sorry, tulips. Tulips came up. Beautiful ones, all different colors. I'm like, this is fantastic. I feel like I live in Pella. Beautiful. And then more flowers that I have no idea what their names are started growing up, right? She knows them all. To me, they're flowers, right? Like, and then they would die, and then new ones would come up, and they would die, and then new ones would come up. And repeatedly, for weeks and weeks and weeks, my garden showed me new things repeatedly. New things repeatedly. And that's what it's like in the presence of God. When you walk in there, you might be a big square patch of brown dirt and mulch. But it's springtime in the presence of God. And there's tulips coming, and frangipanis, is that a flower? Yeah, we don't have them though, but they might grow too. Flowers just coming up because in the presence of God, He's doing new things. You might walk in there with tulips already, but there's more. There's more. There's more. Are you catching me? Are you catching what I'm throwing? There's more. Whatever you walk in with, it's springtime in the presence of God. There's a next step He's got for you. There's a next step He's got for you. There's another thing and another thing and a new thing. Amen. Praise God as you stand up. Come on, stand up and give Him some praise. It's springtime in the presence of God. Amen. That's why you always feel new and fresh and hope-filled every time you leave church. Every time you have a praise party at your house, you leave feeling fresh, hope-filled, new. Praise God. Here's the cool part. Remember that time I preached nearly 10 minutes longer than I was supposed to? Oh, you don't? Oh, that's today. Here's the cool part, all right? We read in Psalms that God has always been a refuge, a sanctuary, a strong tower, right? But now, you are too. We are as well. We are refuge. We are sanctuary. We are a fortress. We are a strong tower. See, our church and our lives are sanctuaries for the people of Central Iowa. The scriptures say that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is in us and we are in His presence. So people should feel sanctuary when they are in your presence, when they're in our church, when they're in our space, when they're in our zone, amen. We want people to feel these very same things in our presence because we are what the scriptures calls temples of the Holy Ghost, the dwelling place of God's presence on earth. And so within you is a sanctuary where others find that the lies of the devil don't matter to us. The rumors of the world about them don't matter to us because the truth of God is that that person is a child of the Most High God. Amen. And they find that when they hang out with us that their positions and their titles or their lack thereof don't matter. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. We honor, honor, honor. And we honor people always. But we don't treat someone good or like trash depending on their position. Amen. We are sanctuaries for Central Iowa. Their sin doesn't matter to us because we know that their sin was paid for like our sin was paid for, and we aren't the measuring stick of how much sin was enough. And so we give them sanctuary from their sin. And their seasons don't change how we love them. We don't find people in winters and not love them. We don't find people in summers and think they don't need us. We see people and we know that whether they're in a summer or a winter, whether they're in an autumn or a fall, that no matter where they are, that it is springtime in God's presence and there's more for them in God's presence. Praise God. We don't only love people in their summers. We don't only love people in their winters. Imagine a church that only loved hurt people. But when the hurt's gone, we're like, you're good now. Peace. Love stops. Or we only love poor people. But when the blessing comes, because blessing's coming, amen. Blessing's coming. When the blessing comes, we're like, you're good. We don't need you anymore. We don't love you anymore. Or imagine if we only love them rich. And so if the money dried up, we move on. We're like, I'm going to find myself a new rich person. No, we are a sanctuary, and it's springtime when people hang out with us. A place where the love and the grace of Almighty God is all that matters and nothing else. I hope you're inspired today. I hope that was good for you today. Praise God. Now, we could end the service right now, or in 3 or 4 minutes, but with your permission, I think it'd be more important that we give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. And if you're in this room and you don't know Jesus, I'm inviting you to springtime. I'm inviting you to hang out with God. I'm not trying to change you, fix you, make you something you're not. It's not my job to fix anybody, man. I can't even fix myself. You ask my wife, I've been trying, right? The only thing that can fix me is the presence of God. The only thing that can fix you is the presence of God. So I'm not asking you to change. I'm not asking you to stop sinning. I don't care about any of that. All I want you to do is meet Jesus. And if there's something destructive in your life, in His presence, He will tell you and He will give you the strength and power to change and overcome. Amen. And so if you don't know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Every single person in the room will pray it, so you won't be alone. But if you don't know Jesus or you've walked away from Him, today's the day that you bring the springtime back into your life. And so I'm inviting you right now to repeat after me. So everybody all together, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins and He rose again to give me new life, hope and joy, peace and everlasting life. Please forgive me the things that I've done wrong. You call them sin. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive this new life and I want to live in the spring. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.